Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
Of all the men in all of the New Testament who wrote or who are written about, perhaps none have been tried and tested as was the Apostle Paul, with maybe one exception, that of Jesus our Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says in verse 12, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In everything and in all things have I learned the secret, both to be filled and to be hungry, both to be abound and to be in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Paul says that he had learned to be content. And oh, how we need to learn contentment, don't we? All of us need to learn to be willing, to be content, and to be at ease with ourselves and at peace with ourselves in whatever state we might be in. Paul was in prison when he wrote these words. He didn't know whether he would be taken and thrown into an arena with lions. He didn't know whether he would be crucified upside down. He didn't know whether he would be nailed to a cross as Jesus was. He did not know that he would not have his head cut off from his body. He didn't know. But he wrote to those that he loved so much and who had been so much help to him and said, I've learned whatever state I'm in, therein to be content. And in the American Standard, he says, I've learned the secret. Now, in the King James, this says, I've been instructed. The idea is, I've learned, he says, I've learned whatever it is I need to learn in order to be content. I've learned the secret. I believe that Paul tells us the secret in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I believe that's the secret that Paul had. I believe that's the secret that he found. I believe that's the secret that enabled him to live as he lived, even in spite of the difficulties that he had in life. I believe this lesson to be valuable to us today because there are so many different ones of us who have to live in different states. Some of us have to live with pain daily, hourly. Some of us have to live with sorrow very daily and weekly and yearly basis, day in, day out. And we need to learn the secret that Paul learned. We may never have to go through what Paul went through. I hope and pray that we don't. I hope we never have to be tested in the sense that Paul was tested. I hope we never have to endure the rods of the executioner or the whips or the stones of those who hate us. I hope we never have to endure the dungeon and the imprisonment for our faith. But if we were to have to do so, I believe that this passage tells us wherein was found Paul's strength and the secret for contentment and the secret of success over whatever difficulty might have come his way. I want to share some thoughts with you about this passage found in verse 13 today. Notice that Paul says, I can do it. You know, this is a personal thing with Paul. And you know, there are some things in life that necessarily have to be personal. Our relationship to God is a personal thing. Now, it involves a corporate type of relationship, but it also involves an individual I-vow relationship. A theologian a few years ago by the name of Martin Buber came up with the idea of a one-word type thing, I-vow. And he says, basically, that in his, from an existential, theological, or philosophical position, that basically that our relationship to God is a personal encounter. Well, I don't like the personal encounter. It's not the correct idea of God in the sense that we some way meet God personally, individually, and God comes down and in us and lets us know about it and touches our hearts and minds and all that. And that's what he's talking about, an existential decision. But the I-vow relationship of God is necessarily true. I must have a personal relationship with God. I must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order for me to be saved. I must personally come to faith. I must personally repent. I must personally confess my faith. I must personally be baptized into Christ. I must do it. Nobody can do it for me. And so then it's I have some responsibilities. It's not they, it's not we, it's not someone else. It's I have some responsibilities. And Paul says I, and he mentioned frequently I. Now, the rich man in Luke chapter 12 mentioned the personal pronoun many occasions, but he misused it. Here, Paul mentions the personal pronoun about five or six times in these few verses, beginning with about verse 10 through about verse 13. I believe six. But he's talking about not in a kind of an exalted type of situation that he was eliminating himself from other people, but simply that he had his responsibility. And he had to bear the brunt of whatever came his way. He had to learn to handle it. There are some things in life, my friends, that nobody else can take away from you. The Bible does teach, and Paul teaches himself, that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But it goes ahead and says, each one must bear his own burden. And that simply means that I have a responsibility. No one else can take that responsibility away from me. I have it. And so I have abilities to use for God. I have to stand before God. I will stand before God. I will bear the responsibility of my sins. Can you say today, I am saved? I am serving the Lord. I am doing His will. I do trust Him. I am faithful. Can you put those personal pronouns before those phrases and say that? If you can't, you need to repent. And you need to make your heart right and your life right with God today, before this day ends, before this hour ends. There is a personal responsibility that you have in your relationship to God, and nobody else can take it away from you. The elders can't take it away from you. I can't take it away from you. I cannot bear it. They cannot bear it. Nobody else can bear it. You must bear it. I will stand before God. And you will stand there too. Now notice he says, I can. That's the verb of action. It's a positive declaration. It's the language of success. It's not the language of the Stoic who simply isolates himself and says, well, I can just bear it. But it is the language of saying that I can do it. I can. I can handle it. I can. Not only by himself, as he'll tell us a little bit later, but there's a positive declaration of action on his part. The language of success. Someone said that success comes in cans. I can do it. Well, Paul believed that. He was a success-oriented person. He believed that he could succeed. He believed that he could overcome whatever might come his way. You know, you and God are a majority. That's what Paul here is saying. Irregardless of whether Philippians helped him or didn't help him. Irregardless of whether the Thessalonian Christians helped him or didn't help him. He and Christ were a majority. I can. And brethren, we need to stop saying, I won't. I can't. I don't care. And all kinds of things, and say, I can. I can. The Israelites didn't have this attitude. They had the attitude of, I can't. Their attitude was a lack of faith. Paul's attitude is an attitude of faith. And the Hebrew writer picks up on this lack of faith of the people of Israel in entering into the land of promise when he says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19, beginning, and we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief. They said, we can't. Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, that any one of you should seem to have come short of it. Then he goes ahead to talk about the good tidings being preached to us. And he talks about that good tidings and how much greater it is than what they had. Then he says in verse 11, Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience. Unbelief, lack of faith in God, is disobedience. And we must be careful that we do not disobey God. Paul was a goal-oriented, success-oriented man. He believed that he, with God's help, could do God's will. We need to develop that attitude. He trusted in God. Now, thirdly, notice this. I can do. Again, it's like saying, Paul would say, I can accomplish. I can handle whatever it is. I can take care of my needs. I can endure whatever it might be. I can put up with whatever it is I have to put up with. That's what he's saying. When he says, I can do, he's saying, I can accomplish, handle, take care of, endure, put up with. It doesn't make it. I can do it. Do what? Well, whatever it is I have to do, I can do it. He had that kind of faith. What a great man indeed he was, comparatively speaking, to what many of us are today. But you know, Christianity is a religion of action. I can do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Christianity is a religion of action. It's a religion of not saying over, sitting over in the corner, I believe, I believe, I believe, I trust, I trust, I trust. But it's simply saying, I believe and I trust and I'll show it. And then doing it. It's not a religion of simply hearing. It's not a religion of simply saying. It's a religion of doing. It always has been. It always will be. And it never will be acceptable until it is in your individual life. I can do. Not sit back and let somebody else do. Not let George do it, or Henry do it, or Bruce do it, or somebody else do it. I can do something. Matthew, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus put it slightly differently when he said, Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What he's saying is, it is hypocritical. It is nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense for you to say, you are my Lord, Jesus, but now don't expect me to do what you want me to do. Don't expect me to live differently than the world now. Don't expect me to be involved in activities which are Christian in nature. Don't expect me to be involved in helping other people. Don't expect me to be involved in service. Don't expect that of me, because, you see, I'm one of those sayers and not doers. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 22 beginning, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. We have a lot of deluded people. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and going away straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that doeth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. And was it not the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that said, without faith it is impossible to please God, for they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently serve Him. God never has promised a reward, never has promised heaven, never has promised eternal life to any man who says and doesn't do. Never has. And so Paul says, I can do. And he considered his life, he considered his situation, he considered his abounding, he considered his abasement, he considered whatever situation he had in life to be part of his relationship to God. And he looked at it with those kinds of eyes and he said, I can do it. With God's help, I can do it. Because it's in this circumstance that the Lord has given me to serve Him. We're to be about the Father's business. We can do the Lord's work. Notice that he says, I can do all things. all things. He could endure distress. He could take success. Not a few things, not some things could he put up with, but all things. All things. You know that all things includes a great number of things, doesn't it? It includes many things. Think about it for a minute. You know, I have a dream. Maybe I ought to say dreams. I had it when I came here. I've allowed it to be dimmed somewhat, but I still have them. I dream of seeing this building filled at every service. No empty pews. Filled. I dream of being able to go and talk to my preaching brethren and my other brethren in the state and in the country and to be able to explain on a very reasonable basis why people are not here at every service on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night without being embarrassed because of the difference. I dream of being able to convert through our mutual efforts of hundreds each year. With a congregation this size, there is no reason why we shouldn't be able to. I dream of seeing our classrooms overflowing, not wondering whether anybody's going to show up that day or not. But overflowing with children, precious in the sight of God. I have a dream to have God be glorified at the very name and the mention of Central Church of Christ. Not because of what it has done in the past, but what it does. What it's doing. To see the unfaithful restored. To see a spirit of concern for the lost. And unity and love and community. To see our young people active, faithful, involved, standing together, unified in opposition to evil in our community. I have a dream of seeing that. All things, Paul. I can do what? All things? You know, I believe God. In Acts 27 and verse 25, this same Paul on the way to Rome had received information with regard to the safety of the ship. The angel of the Lord had told him that the ship's crew would be safe. They would lose the ship, but the ship's crew would be safe. And Paul stood up in that storm and that tremendous tumult of wind and rain and the people excited and the people afraid, and he stood up and said, I believe God that what He has said He'll bring to pass. You believe that? We have lost that kind of attitude. You know, the Bible says that the Lord will be with us. He says, go to every nation, teaching and baptizing, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always. Now, either the Lord is a liar, or we have failed to carry out the Great Commission to the extent that He is with us in the doing of it. Could that be possible? Is it not conditional that the Lord said, if you will do this, then I will be with you? But what if we don't do it? It's not enough, my friends, to send some money hither and thither and yon. It never has been, and it never will be. The Bible says that God will reward our efforts. He will reward those who diligently serve Him. Hebrews 11 and 6. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and you shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Maybe we're not asking. Maybe we're not seeking. And maybe we're not finding. And that's the reason it's not, we do not give or we do not receive and we do not find and we are not opened. And the doors are not open of opportunity to us. Maybe that's what it is. We're to labor and our labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Paul says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We've forgotten that. Our labor is never in vain. We need to keep on working. The problem is that we're not laboring. You know, it's awfully hard to receive any benefit from that promise if we don't labor. And I fear that in many cases, individually I'm talking about now, we are not laboring. God is for us. Who can be against us? Romans 8 and 31. And the Bible, Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 10, that God is able to make us abound exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that He's able to bless the sower to the sowing and give bounty to those who have need and who give of their bounty. It's a wonderful promise that God has promised to be with us if we do His will. The question is, are we doing it? We can do great things here at Central. But we must remember that the Lord needs me in His work. They say, oh, the Lord doesn't need me. Well, who's He going to do it with? Well, He can do it with somebody else. But that's the problem. Everybody else seems to be thinking the same thing. Somebody else will do it. Who? Not someone else. You. We need to double me in 80. We need to double ourselves in 80. We need to each one. Think what it would be like if each one of us were able to influence one person for Christ. Just one. Just one. Each one save one. Each one bring one. Each one restore one. Each one help one. Each one serve one. Each one of us. Just one of us. You see, what we think, well, we have to get 15. Well, if I ever get started, you know, well, I... Just one. But how many of us have ever really talked to just one? You know, we can have 600 here at every service. Last year, I started out by writing the bulletin, you know, let's try to have 600. I didn't get much encouragement about that 600 from anybody, period. Why not? Because each of us are not willing to bear our load. Each of us are not willing to do our part. Each of us are not willing to individually do what we ought to do. That's why. And we don't want to get involved. And so we sit back and talk about they. We talk about the Central Church. We talk about those folks up there on the corner. And none of us individually will accept our responsibility. You know, it's kind of like the attitude I saw down in Florence, Alabama one time. I was on a back road going to a lectureship or a workshop or something, and I was just happened to be cutting across through the country. And there at the edge of Florence was a little building over to the side, and out in the front of this building was this little sign that says, the best little church in town. And I thought to myself, you know, our brethren wouldn't dare put that out. But that's exactly the attitude many of them have. Satisfied. The best little one in town. The best one that size in town. Or we may say, we're the best in town. Have we arrived? In whose eyes have we arrived? Are we satisfied? The question is the Lord satisfied? I can do all things. And notice the conditions. In Him, through Christ, who strengthens me. It's interesting that notice that we are in Christ, and it's in Christ that that relationship takes place. It's in Christ that we have this promise really given. It's in the relationship that we have in His body, in His church. We are, of all people, most blessed. We have a special relationship in Christ. We are His family. Think about the great blessings that we have in Christ. Redeemed, saved, justified, sanctified, cleansed, free, forgiven, children, born again, Christians, among many. Great, wonderful blessings that we have in Christ. I can do all things through Christ or in Him or in Christ who strengtheneth me. God, our Father, and Christ, our Lord, has promised us the strength and resources necessary to do His work. Will we use it or abuse it? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in a letter that was written either in conjunction with Philippians or the second imprisonment, Paul makes this statement, beginning in verse 15 or verse 16. At my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. Now think about that. When I stood up before Caesar and made my defense, everybody left me. Not one stood. May it not be laid to their account. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. That's what he's talking about here. When others leave, when others don't do, when others are not doing what they ought to do, when others are not living the way they ought to live, when others are not involved, when others are... It makes no difference to my responsibility to God. I, as an individual, can, with God's help, do everything, all things, through Christ, who strengthens me. The psalmist said it in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in times of trouble. In Psalm 27 and verse 1, he says, the Lord is my strength and my help. Of whom shall I be afraid? We need to believe God and His promises. We need to have faith. We need to be bound by love and by duty driven. It's never, my friends, and I want you to listen to this if you don't hear anything else. It is never taught in the Scriptures. I want to find a church that'll serve me. It is always taught, I serve the Lord. Where do we get off thinking that we go to a particular congregation because they offer more service to me? Where? When the full responsibility of relationship to God is my service to Him and to others through His church. We, beginning with me, must ask God to help us, to strengthen us, to do His will, to truly show our love for Him and others.